Identifying.
Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
All right, welcome to Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studios. Yes, it is Jim Beaver here, at JimBeaver15 on social media. Give me those follows, please. Much appreciated. Always like to hear your feedback. Anything you've got at me, guest suggestions, anything on either of my shows, you just want to talk action sports, racing, pop culture, whatever it is, man, hit me up at JimBeaver15, and we will definitely get the conversation cranking. But this week, a very, very special guest interview. First off, very sorry that this is dropping a couple days late. I've been a little under the weather and had some projects going on, and things just kind of got delayed a bit. But it is well worth it. We got Vaughn Gittin Jr., professional fun haver and social media sensation, one of the faces of Formula Drift. Now he's into off-road. He's done road racing, viral videos, films, whatever. Vaughn Gittin Jr. has you covered. Just a rad guy, one of my favorite people to have on air on any of my shows. And we did this interview on the Down and Dirty Radio Show earlier this week. But this is a director's cut interview of it. Amy Hood and I did this, and man, I think you guys are going to love it. It was a live interview. Vaughn was traveling. There's spots where his voice gets a little scratchy, but you can still hear it. But sorry for that. You know, I know we've got some sticklers that are like, oh man, that audio quality was crap. Look, man, it's still like 80% good. On most of it's 100% good. There's some spots that's 80%. So just going to have to live with it. It's Vaughn Gittin Jr. But thank you guys for tuning in, man. I'm really stoked to have Vaughn on the show. Lots been going on in my world. Got a big announcement coming next week on Tuesday regarding the Polaris Razor Star Car. You guys definitely want to be tuned into the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Tuesday to hear that and hear who is coming to race the Mint 400 with me. And I think you guys are going to be stoked. I know I am. We got lots of news regarding the whole program for this year. That's all coming on Tuesday, and you guys are going to want to definitely want to tune into that. So thank you guys for your support of this show, for the support of my other show. Man, it's definitely been a wild one. I know Olympics been going on. I am an Olympics junkie. And I've been watching just a ton of Olympics on TV. You know, I only get to do it once every 2 years, you know, and then you alternate summer, winter, right? And it's been so long since I've been able to talk Olympics. I'm just stoked on it, man. And this Olympics has been a wild one, you know, Lindsey Vonn. It's just, you know, kind of her stepping away from the sport of skiing. It's like, what's up next? I mean, gosh, you got the Russian scandal with the steroids, right? PEDs, performance enhancing drugs, failed drug tests anyways, right? You got that going on. I mean, shoot, you got the North Korean situation, and I don't know. It's been wild, right? But U.S. women's hockey winning, you know, we got countless gold medals for the Americans. It's been rad. My boy Nick Baumgartner finishing fourth in snowboard cross. Oh, man, so close, Nick Baum. But I know I'm reaching out to him. We're going to have him on Project Action sometime soon. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Dude that off-road races and snowboards, check. We want him on the show, right? So reaching out to him, trying to get Nick Baum on at some point in time very soon, very, very soon. So, yeah, man, you know, hit me up once again, your guest suggestions at JimBeaver15 on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Use my website, downanddirtyshow.com. Love to hear from you guys. And please go over there to iTunes, subscribe to this podcast, subscribe to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. And if you really want to, it means a lot. Leave a rating and a review. Ratings for sure. If you want to leave a review, if you leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the body of the review, I see that. I will follow you back on social media. And, man, do it to both my shows, the Down and Dirty Radio Show and Project Action. It is definitely much, much appreciated. And then, gosh, we got Supercross going on. Roczen, he's down and out. You know, that's definitely a heartbreaker. It's been wild. You know, the Daytona 500 was flat shenanigans last week. The finish to that, it's just been kind of nuts. So, yeah, silly season in motorsport. It is full swing, full speed ahead. Things are starting to crank. Action sports are starting to crank. You know, winter's winding down. We got summer starting to pile on. It's going to be a fun couple of months. I got the Mint 400 coming up here in about 2 weeks, getting the Star Car ready for that. I got the UTV World Championship after that. I'm racing Terracross. I'm doing a bunch of other stuff. I think I'll be out at the Long Beach Grand Prix for like a week. It's going to be an exciting time. But we're going to get to this interview with Vaughn Gittin Jr., my good friend and partner in crime, Amy Hood. She held that interview down with me. And, you know, I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Before we get to that, though, I got to tell you about our good friends at AMSOIL. And you know what? You guys know we did a special Indy 500 episode of Project Action last year that I did live from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And you know what? I got to tell you, I had full access. It was insane. Everybody should do it. And you know what? You are going to have the opportunity. Our good friends at AMSOIL are giving away a trip to one of the greatest spectacles in all of motorsports, the Indy 500. Just any trip, though. It's the Indy 500 Ultimate Fan Experience. And that's what AMSOIL, the maker of some of the best synthetic motor oils on the planet, is giving away this spring. One grand prize winner win a trip of a lifetime to the Indy 500 to watch some of the fastest cars and best drivers battle to have their names etched alongside the greats like Foyt, Andretti, Unser, and Castroneves. But that's not all. Listen to what awaits the grand prize winner. You're going to get pit access, dinner with an Indy 500 legend, VIP track access, suite access to watch the race, a grand in cash, round-trip airfare for two, hotel accommodations for two for 5 nights. You're going to get ground transportation and a chance to meet the drivers. And just like they do when they're making high-performance synthetic motor oils, AMSOIL went the extra mile with this sweepstakes. If that's not enough, 10 first-place winners are going to receive one free digital download code for Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game. So to enter the AMSOIL Ultimate Indy 500 Fan Experience, text INDY, that's INDY, to 41487. That's INDY, INDY, to 41487. Or visit AMSOIL.com/INDY. And you know, everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. You know what? Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, that's you listening to this, could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket just may be the most rewarding thing that you two do today. And you know what? If you're looking to buy a car, you're familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for. But what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse just about anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something to you. Well, introducing True Price from TrueCar. Now you know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. TrueCar dealers will show you the true price on cars like the ones you want from the comfort of your home. And you know how? And all you have to do to know your true price is a great price? It's because TrueCar shows you what other people in your area paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or a used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. And right now, we're going to roll with my boy Vaughn Gittin Jr. right here on Project Action. Jim Beaver, Amy Hood here, joined on the line by my buddy Vaughn Gittin Jr. How's everything going, Vaughn?
Hey!
Good, my man. How are you?
Man, it has been far, far too long, buddy. I'm trying to think back. Like, I had you and Casey Curry on today, and I'm like, gosh, it's been, like, way too long since I've had both you guys on. Like once every 2 years or year and a half, it's like, it needs to stop.
I agree, man. I always enjoy chatting with you, and, you know, make it more often.
Yeah. So we got a lot to talk about with you, a lot to catch up on. But first off, we got to talk a little King of the Hammers before we get into a lot of your fun having. But I know Hammers, you and I, we've known each other about 5-6 years now. And I know back to the start, you'd always told me, like, I want to get involved in off-road somehow. I need to expand my brand, you know, and you built like one of the raddest Broncos I think I've ever seen. I would say your Bronco is like on the competition side is rad. And then Lucy Block's Bronco that Ken built her, like those two Broncos right there. Like my life is made if I could have both of them in my garage.
yeah, it is so badass.
But I mean, you built, you call it Brocky, right? But I mean, kind of take us through this like evolution. I mean, you're still so knee deep in Formula Drift. You're like shoulder deep in there. You're not leaving that anytime soon. But tell me about kind of this dabbling over into the off-road side of things you've been doing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, 2 years ago, 2016, I was actually wrapping up a vacation with my wife, and Nitto gave me a call, and I vividly remember this. You know, I was literally still on the beach wrapping up my vacay, and they're like, are you interested to come to King of the Hammers and race? And I'm like, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, holy shit, King of the Hammers, rock climbing, never even thought of driving a vehicle up a rock. Like, I've seen that, but yes, I'm in, you know? So I showed up and I jumped in a spec truck that was built by the crew at Jimmy's 4x4. And fortunately, had Lauren Healy, who's obviously a legend in that space and has been a great mentor to me, but he's in the passenger seat with me. And, you know, I literally land, get there, and I jump in the truck, and we go to this old waterfall, right? And he's like, points at the waterfall. He's like, yeah, see that? And he's like, we're going to go up that. And I'm looking at this thing, right? And it's just straight up and down. And I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever, funny. You know, this is just the, like what you do with the rookies, you know, joke with them. And, you know, and he's like, no, man, put it in low and drive up that thing. And, you know, so I put it in low and just start to attempt, you know, going up this thing and got hung up and backed up. And he told me what I did wrong. He's like, you know, look, you need to keep the momentum. Gave me some feedback and went right up it. And it would just kind of click. And I was like, oh, that's what these things can do, you know. And, so anyway, I did a little bit of training there. I had Bailey Cole, Dave's son, who runs Ultra 4, you know, his son races, and he jumped in with me a bit, and we did a couple climbs. And the next day, I raced King of the Hammers in the 4800 class, and finished top 10 and became, I think, the only, if not one of the only ever crossover drivers to finish King of the Hammers. And the bug bit me a bit, and so I, you know, during the year I worked on some things and partnered up with a New Bright RC, and they wanted to build a cool RC car. So we talked about building a classic Bronco, and I hit up the crew at Jimmy's 4x4 because they built such a good, reliable truck that I raced the previous year. And that's where Brocky was born. You know, I'd called them. I wanted to get my feet wet and go race the 4800 class, which is not a pro class, but still competitive. And Randy at Jimmy said, well, look, I've got an idea. I've been wanting to build this independent front suspension chassis that fits the 4500 class rules. And you know, I was like, oh, perfect. You know, I don't know anything. I'm like, it sounds cool. Let's do that. So, you know, we built Brocky with the goal of debuting and running King of the Hammers in 2016. And, you know, just doing some learning in the 4500 class, which is still a pro class, but it's not quite the barrier to entry of the unlimited 4400. Yeah. So, you know, we had some growing pains in, you know, that year in 2016 is a brand new truck. And, you know, I qualified and signed up for the 4500 race and the 4400 race just to get some seat time. And, the 4500, we had some new truck blues. And then the 4400, I did a big rookie move trying to pass a guy going up a hill on a wall, ran out of space and flipped over right in front of him like a Barney. And, you know, just constantly learning. Right. And, so after Hammers, you know, went to some other events, some dirt ride events, and did some learning, got the truck sorted. And we ended up showing up at Ultra 4 Nationals in Reno, and we did really well and got the win there, which was really amazing, you know, showing the progress and the approach is working. And, you know, so fast forward to just a couple weeks ago at King of the Hammers 2017, I flew in from New Zealand. I was over there for a week with Ford and our RTR distributor who's out there, and flew right in, landed, drove, jumped in the truck, got a little bit warmed up, and went out and we qualified, and ended up qualifying first for the 4500 class, which was super exciting. Was not expecting that, but was very excited to be starting, you know, and have a chance to be out of the dust, which is a key thought we'll get to in a moment. spent a couple of days out there at Hammers getting ready for the race. I also qualified for the 4400 because I wanted to get some more seat time if, you know, the truck was still alive. Qualified like 26th out of like 100 for that class. So, you know, feeling pretty good about how things are working and our approach to things. And, come Thursday morning, the 4500 race, we're fifth off the line. And we were just running at a really, you know, nice pace. Everything was good, no rush. You know, we had full race, and we were driving in some dust around mile marker number 7. And my co-driver, Glenn, he's just calling, you know, we're talking on the radio. I'm like, you know, you're driving for me. He's like, yep, got it, straight. And all of a sudden, we just boom, you know, we hit this, what we believe to be a pretty big G out. That either a note was missed or we missed it while pre-running, or it just got dug out the previous races. I mean, you know how this goes out there.
Yeah.
So basically the truck hit the G out. The front, I thought the whole front end just completely was gone, but it turns out that at that point, I think we were just a little bit in the air. But basically the truck, the compression in the rear was so much it rebounded and flipped us over. We did one full front flip, landed on the wheels. And unfortunately, my amazing co-driver for King of the Hammers, Glenn Donald, had hurt his back pretty good. So he ended up getting out of the truck and going and laying down on the side of the track. And he's yelling at me. He's like, Vaughn, go, just finish the race. And I'm like, no, man, like, no, I'm not leaving you in the middle of the desert, you know, like, and he's just like, you know, I think it was a very, you know, panic moment in general. But I was able to wave the TV crew down. They grabbed him and he went to get checked out, and he's now back home. You know, he's been home for a bit and handling some recovery, but is in good spirits. And, you know, definitely a real bummer. All the way around was not how we envisioned anything to happen. But, you know, like I mentioned, you know, we're driving in some dust. We're excited to not be in dust, and it ended up biting us. So quite a few things learned from that on a bunch of a lot of hindsight and discussion. So, you know, we'll just keep positive vibes to my man Glenn, and you know, he'll heal up, and, you know, he's super amazing rock crawler and, you know, a hobbyist and a really good guy. So he'll be back at it in no time.
Yeah. Well, and that's good to know, because I know that was some questions swirling around social media, how he was doing. But, man, I mean, off-road, there's so many things, you know, drift is the same way, but there's so many things in off-road that can take you out, you know, whether it be car or a missed note or just randomness. You know, it's such a gnarly sport, just every aspect of it. But, I mean, what's the biggest thing, like you coming over from drift? And I know you've done some road racing. I think with IMSA, right? You know, but what's the biggest thing, the biggest change to your driving that you've had to learn, you know? I mean, coming over from drift. I mean, it's had to have been just complete whirlwind. I mean, what's the biggest adjustment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think one thing that's cool that people like to hear is the similarities. I'll definitely give you some of the differences. I think a lot of the similarities, you know, I think all motorsport is very relative, you know, and I always ask, you know, what's the best thing to do, you know? And I always say, you know, motocross is the ultimate, you know, throttle control, weight management, you know, timing, everything you learn from, you can learn
being
from.
Being able to read the terrain, too, I think is important. Being able to read the terrain depending on what, you know, to predict and judge your riding style or driving style.
For sure. And, you know, so for me, going from motocross to drifting, you know, yeah, I've done a little bit of road racing here and there, but I think the big thing that is equal in anything that you do is, like, you got a steering wheel, you got 4 tires on the ground, you have a certain amount of grip, and you're just managing weight and how that weight works on whatever terrain or surface you're on. So for me, you know, the big thing from drifting that helped was the throttle control and the feeling of traction. You know, we're sideways, feeling grip every moment, even though the tires are spinning at, you know, 30, 40% faster than vehicle speed. So when you get in the rocks and you're in the dirt, you know how to get that traction down to keep the vehicle driving forward, which has been very helpful. I think the biggest adjustment or thing that's kind of contrary to what you see, right? I mean, when you watch trophy trucks or any of these off-road or desert racing, you just hear the engine screaming, you know, going through the whoops, just wah, wah, you know, it's wild and intense and aggressive. But the real trick to this is to not get sucked in by the attrition, which means saving your equipment, knowing when to push, when not to push, and really having that strategy. And that's very challenging for a lot of people because you're in your truck, you're racing. You know, yeah, man, I got to go, I'm racing. But, you know, it's definitely a mindset shift, especially in a sport like drifting where you're so aggressive, to now kind of be pulling this back. And let's not forget, these trucks are like the funnest thing you could ever imagine driving. So it's like, you know, you're constantly fighting with, hey, I'm racing, but damn, this is fun, but I don't want to hold back, but I need to finish this race. So that's been that's something I learned very well last year, and I thought that I was going to be able to execute it really well this year, and it was something that I was very mentally prepared for. Like I said, we weren't pushing. It wasn't like we were out of control or anything. It was just a really dumb freak thing, and I think, you know, this is one of the only sports that has such a changing surface. You know, you go pre-run three days, but there's two races between your race and everything kind of changes, you know? So, you know, there's a million things in hindsight of my personal situation, but I look at it as the overall and learning experience from this one is, hey, don't be driving in dust unless you have to. Yeah. And I didn't have to be where I was 7 miles into the race, you know?
Yeah.
So that's definitely one thing on my end, but it's so fun, you know, learning and adapting to these new sports. And, you know, the off-road community as a whole, man, I just got huge love. I mean, you know, for me, I'm an enthusiast. I love cars. I love building and, you know, dreaming and making things come to life. But the one thing that I'm very fortunate, I travel a lot. I get to hang out with a lot of people, a lot of different enthusiasts. And, man, just the off-road space is just some unbelievable camaraderie and support. You know, competitors jumping out and winching other competitors. Like, where else does that happen? You know, it's really awesome, and I'm really happy to be a part of it.
And I know Vaughn, Amy's got a couple of questions for you before we start jumping into Formula Drift. So I got no idea what's coming at you, buddy, but I know she's got something for you.
Well, no, I just –
so I'm excited.
I just really wanted to pick your brain, and maybe this is even I like to also, like, educate our listeners. And just listening to you and kind of, you know, your jump from one motorsport discipline to the next, I'm kind of in this position right now where I am struggling with this. And I think it's honestly because of my two-wheel background. I do like to think that, yes, motocrossers, we are the most adaptable because we kind of faced with every, you know, every problem or situation or solution in a moto setting. But going from two wheels to four, I am very much challenged with this weight distribution and understanding weight distribution and understanding how the four tires work in a setting where, you know, on a dirt bike, you just go rail a rut as fast and hard as possible and transfer that weight from, you know, with your foot peg. And it really has not much to do with your tires. It's body weight. Well, when I'm in a 12,000-pound monster truck, my body weight does not matter. And I am very much struggling to find that how I can be in control of my four wheels when I'm in a racing setting. Like, don't get me wrong, I can sky wheelie and walk a wheelie across that path better than anybody, but I am having a hard time adjusting my racing technique that I have learned from two wheels to four. Where do you find that, you know, that brain switch? Where is it where you have to turn that aggressive riding style off, and how do you adjust? And I'm thinking monster trucks are very much more like Formula Drift, where, you know, it's a flat surface, it's not you're not really the same terrain as, say, a desert or off-road setting. I think the drift setting and a monster truck setting is more similar. Like, where is the difference? Where is the mindset? How do I adjust?
Sure. Yeah, so, I mean, that is definitely would be different for everyone, but my approach, so when I went from motocross, I was racing motocross at an amateur level, but playing around in a car at the same time, like just going to industrial parks and playing. So that's how I really learned weight management of a vehicle. But now with my experience, to answer your question, I would look at it as, okay, so the way that you move your weight, right? So I always, when I tell people about driving a car, I tell them always visualize a pendulum like hanging from the middle of the car, right? And when you accelerate, that pendulum goes backwards. When you hit the brakes, that pendulum goes forward. So if you were to take your body on your dirt bike and pretend that's the pendulum, right? And when you're going into a turn, you know, you're up on your gas tank, turned in, right? All your weight on the front. And then when you're coming out of that turn, you're gradually moving your weight to the rear to get the traction to the rear so that you can drive off the turn. So it's a very similar thing, with a four-wheel drive vehicle. So, like, you know, especially in the dirt, if you're on throttle, unless you're sideways, those things aren't turning. I don't care what you're in, you're not turning because, you know, a lot of them have anti-squat and a ton of grip in the back, and it overcomes the front. So you, whenever you're making a turning input, you need to make sure that your pendulum or your weight is on the wheels that need to react to you, right? So when you're in your monster truck, if you need to turn, you can't just, you know, unless you're super aggressive and rotate it with the, you know, with the throttle, you know, you need to, you know, be on the brakes. I've never driven a monster truck, but you need to get the weight to the front so the front end can hook and then, you know, it can turn. Obviously, if it's got a locker, it's not going to turn as nicely. But, you know, I think for you, you need to, like, what you would do with your body on your dirt bike if you just started translating that to just weight moving in whatever vehicle that you're in, I think that, you know, that would be helpful, right? Like when you're driving, visualize what you would do on your dirt bike, right? You're coming to a turn and you would be pushing up to the gas tank. Well, maybe now you're dabbing the brakes a bit, you know? And then when you feel that thing starting to bite, you know, then you can gradually get back on throttle till you're pointed at where you need to go.
You know, I think I'm going to need to go buy a pendulum on on eBay and have it hanging from my...
Well, you have one, and it's in your butt. I mean, like, it's your butt dyno. You know what I mean? Like,
you feel
the weight. You feel it. You know?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing is, and that's the timing thing, right? And that's a lot of things, a lot of things people struggle with is, like, they're trying to turn the vehicle while the pendulum is still, like, rear and left, and they wonder why it wants to go the opposite way. You know, you have to work with the weight. You're never going to overcome the weight in a vehicle. It's always going to win, so you have to be, you know, as smooth
it's
or
crazy.
As aggressive tossing it.
It's crazy how I can mentally know that, and, you know, with a dirt bike, I feel like I'm in much more control. Like, I put the bike where I want it to go, but when you jump to anything four wheels, you know, that machine is very much in control, and you have to learn what it is going to do and how it's going to react, where I'm used to woman handling my bike around and throwing it where I want to put it. So it's really cool and interesting to hear these people, and especially your background with drift and now off-road, because I think, you know, it like you said, there's everything relates to everything else. Like, there's something you can learn, and even going from dirt fish and you know, I got a little knowledge on, like you said, cool, calm, collective, and being patient. I've learned a lot of patience driving a four-wheel vehicle. But it's so cool, and it's so interesting hearing other people's, you know, strategy and the knowledge behind it and how I can adapt my driving style to that. So, again, I just love hearing what other people have to offer. It's good.
Yeah, well,
learning for
good
me.
Luck, and good luck, and, you know, breathing is your best friend when it comes to being calm and focus on the job.
Yeah. So, Speaking of breathing, we got Formula Drift coming up, man. The kickoff, Long Beach, Not too far away. What are we, like 2 months out? But, I mean, shoot, you can't breathe much in an FD run, man. They happen, happen so quick. But, I mean, what are we looking at for the 2018 season? I've seen, like, a massive shift in Formula D in the past 2 or 3 years. And, obviously, you know, some of the guys like you and Forsberg are still at the top of your game. But there's such a new crop of drivers coming in that are challenging you guys. And that's got to be – I mean, from a fan perspective, I think it's really exciting. But you, from a driver perspective, man, how have you had to change your program to adapt? You guys are, you know, constantly having to elevate every single year.
Yeah, it's actually kind of getting out of hand. It's gotten to the point where I don't even watch practice or competitors anymore, because, you know, you kind of forget that you're also doing the same thing, and it just looks so absurd. So I just kind of like live in my own world right now when I'm at the Formula Drift events. But it's a very exciting time in our sport. You know, I love the growth of it, and the new drivers coming in, keeping everyone on the toes. I mean, you nailed it. I mean, 100%. There's new blood, there's new mindsets, and everybody is coming out swinging and keeping us that have been there since day one, you know, on our toes. And you know what? Win, lose, or draw. If I have a good battle with somebody, you know, I'm pumped on it. I'm pumped that the crowd got to experience it. And, you know, when one of these new guys, you know, takes me out, you know, when that happens, you know, you would think I'd be mad, but I'm actually super pumped on it. You know, like, it's obviously you don't ever want to lose, but you're really, you know, proud of the effort. Like, you know what that means when someone shows up and gets that win. You know, for instance, last year, you know, I brought on Chelsea DeNova as a teammate. You know, he's been a killer out there for a long time. And, you know, now he's the first year being on a, you know, he went from, you know, 2016 being, you know, team owner, driver, fixing his car, engineering his car, crashing his car, you know, and to showing up to a professional, you know, the RTR Motorsports team and showing up and focusing on driving. And most of the year was a very much learning year, learning processes, learning how things go. And then we line up in Seattle and he whooped my butt. You know, it was definitely a very close battle, but in the end, the judges felt he won. And, you know, here's a guy, same team, same car. The only different variable is the setup that we call for that run and the driver, you know, and as a driver, you're like, I want to be the best, you know, but for me, it was just so validating, and I was so proud of him. You know, there was no ego. You know, of course, a little bit, I was like, oh, man, I lost. You know, that sucks. You know, but I lost in the same car, you know. Yeah. But I was so proud of him and my team, and it's just like validation of what we're doing. And, you know, for James Dean, you know, to come over from Ireland, this kid's been dreaming of coming back to Formula D after, you know, his, you know, a 10-year hiatus. You know, I forget James's age. I think he's 21 or 22.
Young. I can't remember, but he's super young.
He just waxed all of us. He waxed everyone. I didn't get the opportunity to battle him last year, and I really am looking forward to that because, you know, I either want to beat him or I want him to beat me to seal how epic he's been just going through champions. But proud of the man. Like, he put his passion together. He chased the business to make it happen. He showed up and executed, and like, this is, you know, that's what champions are made of. And look, it takes one to know one, and you have to give the respect when somebody can do something like that, the level that we're running these days.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I it's kind of awesome to hear you say that, because I've talked to Forsberg and I think he very much feels the same way. You know, that like you guys are proud because you helped grow this sport. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, there's guys like, you know, you talk to Ryan Sage, and I mean, you guys are all like family, you know, because you guys were there at the start from day one, you know. But like, I feel like you guys all have a stake in the game with this sport to see where it's at today. And I think, like you said, it's validating. Like, you guys are proud of where it's at, and to see these new guys come in, and you know, it's you have such a personal investment into the sport of drift in the United States, you know.
Yeah, for sure, man. And it's you know, the sport's growing, attendance is up. I mean, it's just really exciting. You know, manufacturers are more and more getting involved, and obviously have a great relationship with Ford, and you know, the Mustang is obviously the perfect vehicle for drift, but it's just spawned in a lot of other things, you know, for myself with, you know, obviously a lot of effort behind the scenes, but, you know, it's just a great sport. It's accessible. And, you know, if you're in town, first week of April, Long Beach downtown, it's a great vibe. It's great people. We'd love to have you out.
Yeah, I know I'm looking at my schedule, and I know we've got the UTV World Championship the same weekend as the FD round there in Long Beach, and I got commitments in the UTV World.
That's probably pretty important to you.
Yeah, but yeah. The next weekend, I'll be in Long Beach for like 4 or 5 days, but I know it's like the Super Drift Challenge, and I don't know if you're doing that or not, but I got to get out to one of the events this year for sure. Maybe Vegas. Maybe I'll fly. Sage and I were talking at SEMA, and he's like, "Jimmy, you just got to come out to one." And I'm like, "I know, my schedule's nuts."
You do, man. You do.
Yeah. Like,
and hey, if you haven't, by the way, I don't know if you know, but we debuted. You know, obviously, you know, I own and I'm the visionary of RTR. We make, you know, we build turnkey Mustangs for the past few years, available at Ford dealerships. Well, we just debuted our F-150 muscle truck concept at SEMA, and that should be available later this year in Ford dealers. So you should definitely check that thing out. It's, you know, it's got a nice aggressive low and wide stance, but if you take it off a jump, you know, the suspension falls out and will catch you nicely, and, you know, supercharged 5 liter, 600, over 600 horsepower. And just a blast, you know. It's not a Raptor, by no means the capability of a Raptor, but enough for someone to have a seriously good time.
Nice. Yeah, I saw it at SEMA, man. Thing was sick. We'll definitely have to keep in the loop. I know I'm going to make it out to one, man. Maybe I'll bring the equipment and we'll just throw down some radio at your compound, like a live show or something like that. We'll make some fun out of it.
That sounds like a good time, and I definitely, you know, I'll catch up with you here soon about that Star Car opportunity you have going on. That sounds, you know, as a professional fun haver, I'm always down for a good time and a challenge. So
yeah,
I'm into it.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to we'll have to figure something out. We got Vegas to Reno coming up, and you know, that's like a 500 miler, so we could throw you in there for a couple hundred miles. So
that sounds like a good time.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, man. I'll give you a shout sometime soon. But you know, great having you on air, buddy. Take care. Tell your wife hey, and we'll chat soon.
All right, my man. Well, thank you much, and good luck with your monster trucks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to try to apply some of those techniques you told me and kill it.
All right. Well, I hope it works. Have fun and be safe out there.
All right. Take it easy, Vaughn.
Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Picks.
Yeah, and a ham horn. And we have a new podcast available on Apple Podcasts, podcast1.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
Never a dull moment with Vaughn Gittin Jr., the professional fun haver on air. Man, always fun catching up with my boy Jr. He will be in competition in Formula D at Long Beach here in just about a month. But always fun catching up with Vaughn, man, just a rad dude. Had the opportunity to actually not ride along in a drift car with him, with Ryan Turk, out at SEMA a couple of years ago. Vaughn's wife Abby, they have some Formula D like ride along drift sessions and stuff like that. There was an opening and I jumped in the car with Turk, and it was a ton of fun. Love Ryan Turk, man. He's another great cat. Chris Forsberg, I love all the drift family, man. They're just rad people. But good times catching up with Vaughn. Thank you guys for tuning into the show. Like I said, we got a big announcement coming in regards to Razor Star Car next Tuesday on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Definitely tune into that. We do it live on Facebook, obviously, Podcast One, Spreaker, my website. And then on Wednesdays in national syndication on 200 networks across the country. And you can always subscribe to that on iTunes. Man, there's like Literally, there's like over 700 places you guys can listen to this at. And I don't say that sarcastically. We're on like over 700 networks around the globe. So seriously, you can find a place to tune into the announcement if you want to. Facebook Live's been cranking. We're getting a few thousand listeners a week on Facebook Live. So anyways, thank you guys. Much appreciated. As always, tuning in. Please go over to iTunes, subscribe to this show, leave a rating or review. If you do, leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username. I'll follow you back. Social media, at JimBeaver15. I love hearing your guest suggestions. I like knowing what's going on with you guys. Talk with me. Let's get a conversation going. It's always fun. We've got a lot coming at you the next couple of weeks. I'm racing. We're going to be talking a lot about that. And, we're going to keep it fun and exciting here. As always, be safe. As always, game on.